Steve Dale back with you on WGN. The state's attorney's office filed charges earlier in the week in an attack that fatally wounded an 11-year-old child, critically wounded his injured and injured his mother, also pregnant. The offender, a 37-year-old man with a history of domestic violence against both this woman and others, was charged with first-degree murder, attempted murder, and several felonies. Alderman Andre Vasquez of the 40th Ward, whose ward this happened in, is on the phone right now. I know you held a press conference, and the whole thing is just horrible to even think about, but it did happen. Thank you for joining us, Alderman.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, of course, this shouldn't have happened. He was allowed to go out on bail. It's, you know, many are shrugging their shoulders as to how that can happen in the first place.
That's incorrect.
Okay, correct us.
Yeah, he was in prison, not jail. So he was out on parole, not bail.
Oh, okay. I apologize. That's my fault. So he's out on parole, yeah. But the same question exists: how is he out on parole in the first place?
Well, he had been sentenced, I believe, for 16 years in 2015, and was let out on parole after having served time. So he was under order of protection prior and after, or I should say he was under a restraining order before and after. So while he was on parole, he actually violated the terms on parole by showing up at the residence, I think, on the 1st of February, and was detained for that. And then what occurred after that, to my understanding, is a judge only held him for a month for violating that restraining order.
And the texts are coming in now with what my next question is, and all these listeners are asking as well, and that is, how can this happen?
Yeah, that's what we're looking to find out. I mean, ultimately, the judge, I believe his name is Thomas Nowinski, was ultimately who had made the determinations. But what we're looking to find out from, you know, the state and the city, as well as county, is what could be done legislatively, looking at what gaps there were in the system, because I do believe this could have been prevented, given how things did play out in this case.
Chicago, and actually I've talked about this many times on this show and other shows I host here, doesn't have all that many, and maybe this woman didn't need to be in a shelter for victims of domestic violence. Maybe she thought, okay, I'm past that, I'm protected. But for those who aren't, there aren't many choices given the size of our city. And those choices that we have are not, let's say, under the best circumstances or conditions for children, or they don't even allow pets. Pets are part of the family. And people won't escape whatever situation they're in unless they can bring the entire family with them. Study after study has shown that. Chicago, I think, and I'm curious as to what you think, needs to do something because what we're doing now seems to be inadequate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that shelter is a solution, right? You have folks who want to feel safe in their home, right? Obviously, there's some need potentially for shelter given situations. But to your point, the amount of services for survivors and victims of domestic violence and the amount of ways to address and accountability for those who commit acts of domestic violence aren't really as fleshed out as they need to be, right? I think it gets complicated for a number of reasons. For example, there are relationships where someone who's a victim of domestic violence may not want to press charges or identify someone who's inflicted pain on them, right, or harm. And so I think digging in and talking to different groups that do this work can yield answers as to how to have different services in place at different junctures of when this all occurs, right? There are different levels of what domestic violence looks like. And if you're able to intercede early on before it becomes these more violent and sometimes deadly interactions, I think we'd be better served by having those services.
How's the mother doing?
So my understanding from what little I know, you know, I haven't connected directly with them, is that I think on the day we had the press conference, which I believe might have been Friday, that she was responsive and had actually spoken to detectives related to the case, which helped as well when it came to pressing charges.
Okay, so it seems as though she'll.
So, I mean,
and
her, yeah.
Okay, so it seems.
And
as
then
though
it's hard to say she's okay, right? Because when you think about someone who's lost their child,
yeah,
who's pregnant and going through this kind of attack, who has a 5-year-old who witnessed everything, I don't know anyone could ever be okay. But it appears that physically she may be recovering.
And how about her unborn baby?
My understanding is the baby's okay as well.
Okay. You have it in your press release. I want to say it as well. City of Chicago Domestic Violence Helpline is 877-863-6338. One of the issues with domestic violence is that people, for understandable reasons, have difficulty stepping forward, taking that step. And the first step may be to call for help, 877-863-6338. I wanted to talk to you anyway today because today is the day that Mayor Brandon Johnson in the city of Chicago began. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Before you start that, I will say, like, I think many of us are victims of domestic violence and don't know how to admit it as well, right? When we talk about growing up and our parents not sparing the rod and sometimes seeing those acts, like, it is hard for someone to seek help if they can't identify it as a problem. And just wanted to kind of frame that as well, that there's different levels of what that looks like or where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, if they need someone to talk to, they should reach out.
Absolutely true. Glad you made that point. So Chicago officials today, St. Patrick's Day, apparently, can update us, have begun to evict migrants from city shelters. That is true, I believe. And then the question is, where do these people go? Going to the landing zone doesn't seem to be a solution for me, but yet that is the city's quote-unquote solution.
Yeah, Mayor Johnson has decided to begin evictions. I believe they'll start at 3 p.m. today at certain shelters. There's about 35 individuals that have been identified for the first day, but by the end of April, we're looking at 2,000 people who would be displaced. And so exactly the question you're asking, we should all ask ourselves. If you had only one roof to live under and were told by the city that you had to leave, you might see what's happening at a landing zone, but more than likely, I'd imagine you'd stay by the shelter because most of the people that you know and who you identify as community are still in that shelter. I think we're going to see more homelessness on the streets, parks, viaducts, and trains in the city as a result of this policy, and I don't believe it's the way forward for our city.
You know, whether those people should be here or should not be is another discussion, but my question is this. They are here. They cannot move forward, I don't believe, maybe there's a way I'm not understanding, in their lives, unless they're given an opportunity to work. They're not given an opportunity to work right now, yet being thrown out of any roof over their head seems to set them backwards. I don't even know how they're better off here in Chicago than they were from the country they came from.
Well, so I think there's a couple things to take into account. I mean, when you think about what life you must be living that you decide to uproot your whole family to leave the country you're in and trek through other countries to get here, I think that might kind of set the stage for how bad things are where they're coming from. But I do get your point that what we're looking at here in Chicago is largely the result of a failure of the federal government to be able to address the situation. When you look at the history of this country, right, whether it's the Irish, the Polish, Mexican, Chinese, we've had immigration since the inception of it, right? And every single time it happens, you have people looking at the folks who are going to become at some point American and kind of make the same charges against them. If we looked at it differently and said all these folks could work, they could pay taxes and ultimately help grow our economy, there's better ways to address the situation in a way that would allow all of us to actually have more revenue coming in rather than having to provide so much more support because the federal government isn't allowing certain people to work.
So what would you do? What should our next step? You're the head of a committee. I've got the name of it here somewhere.
On immigrant and refugee
rights. Thank you. So you're the head of that.
Okay.
The mayor should be listening to this committee, I would think. That apparently may not be happening. So, okay, what would you do? It's not an easy problem.
Yeah, so you highlight a real good point for everybody out there, that there's a difference between a mayor's administration, mayor's departments, and the council's committees, right? The councils hold hearings. We try to get as much information as possible. but I really wouldn't call it a partnership, and we're not involved in the decision-making. If anything, we're usually questioning it to get more transparency and accountability. But if you're asking me what we should be doing, is rather than closing shelters, which is what's been happening, right? We at one point sheltered 15,000 people, now we're sheltering 11,000. If you continue to close shelters and have less capacity, knowing we have more buses coming, you're creating a larger homelessness problem. You're creating a situation where people who can't get jobs and don't have rental assistance would do what any of us would do in the same situation to try to live. And that, unfortunately, might lead to people being exploited, trafficking occurring, an increase in retail theft, young males, between the ages of 14 and 22 who don't have a place to live and don't know where they can find community, potentially being brought in to communities that are not the most law-abiding.
Mm-hmm.
These things could all be exacerbated because we're not making the right decisions now. And so I in some way get that saying that you have a 60-day shelter eviction policy might make it seem like you're doing something for people who don't want to get involved in this work at all. But being irresponsible in our next step forward could very well lead to what is not a better or safer city.
Alderman Andre Vasquez, thank you so much.